wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. What would you do if you had only 40 days? The lifespan of all men and of you and of me is in the hand of Almighty God. When he decrees, thou shalt die and not live, that settles it. Were you to be awakened in the night by a bright light in your bedroom as there stood an angel, one of God's messengers, and looking at you, he would say, yet 40 days and thou shalt die and not live. And instantly he would depart and your room become dark again. What would you do? Maybe you would get a calendar and count out your 40 days and mark them well. Or would you change the numbers so when you looked at the calendar, you would just see how many days were left? But that calendar is already marked with dates when you planned a vacation or a party or a show to attend, or was it a wild trip with some of your buddies? Would you say, I will have my last round of sin, and then the 40th day I'll tend to the hereafter? Or maybe you would divide it with 20 days of the pleasures and thrills of sin and the gaiety of the world, and that would leave you 20 days to think of your precious soul as it must launch forth into eternity. But even that seems folly, for multiplying your years by 365 days and then putting alongside of it just 40 days, you stare at the two figures, and then your mind begins to think rightly. If in all those thousands of days I have not made a move to get right with God my Maker, how short is my time now? Only 40 days. But in trying to squirm out of this predicament, some of you may say, God has never sent an angel to me. If you knew all the Spirit of God has done to get me to prepare this message, and that you should now hear it, you would concede that this is as much a message from God to you as if an angel delivered it. As a man of God, I have been assigned by my God to deliver this message. May it so move you, as it has me, that you will not be able to sleep at night for hearing a voice, yet 40 days, yet 40 days. And as you try to compose yourself to take it by using stimulants, your ears shall constantly hear the echo of those words of divine warning, yet 40 days. Did God ever give any person only 40 days? And did he tell them of that appointed time? In the book of Jonah in the Bible, which is God's word to us, we read of those 40 days. But it was not to just one person, but to 120,000 on whom God had passed his decree of death. And that they might know and not be in blissful ignorance, he sent to them not an angel, but a prophet, Jonah, a man of God. He went up and down the streets of that great city of Nineveh, crying, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Be overthrown? What? Their great city brought down to the ground? In your pride, you think of yourself as some unusual personality, so much better than others. The message to you is, yet 40 days, and you shall be overthrown. Yes, ground to powder. For of the one without Christ we read, whosoever shall fall on that stone shall be broken. That's real repentance. But on whomsoever shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And as the wicked cast into hell, your pride will be eternally smashed. Why not decide to be honest with God and with yourself? If you will make the first move toward God, he will meet you with his charge. Your sins are scarlet. Your parents did not know you. You never told your wife or husband, but God knows you and all your sins. Well, might they make you blush in shame. Some have committed adultery and tried to smooth it over by divorce papers, but God has vowed he will uncover and judge all whoremongers and adulterers, and those who corrupt that sacred relationship of husband and wife. Others have no marriage vows, but lie with the opposite sex in fornication. But others are even more secret, as in their hearts they look with lustful eyes after that beautiful woman or handsome man. Be honest. Come clean with it all before God and confess, O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. I'm ashamed of myself. I'm wicked and filthy in heart and life. O God, I need thy mercy. Conviction deepens. Again you hear, your sins are scarlet. God, your Maker, and He who has given you every good gift, commanded you to love Him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. But you have inwardly hated God and wish you could destroy Him so you would never have to face His judgment and retribution. And instead of loving God, you have loved this wicked world. You have loved your evil habits and bowed to their dominating control of you. And even when God gave His Son to die to save you, and God said, surely He will reverence and love my Son, but you do not love Jesus, for you love yourself and don't think you need a Savior. A book of 1,000 pages wouldn't suffice to record your sins. With such a glaring array of your sins, do you wonder that God's long-suffering has run out with you, and His wrath burns in fury as it decrees, yet 40 days, and you shall be overthrown? Now, if you are perplexed what you should do in your 40 days, why not learn from what Nineveh did? For theirs was the only wise action. Anything else would have been foolish destruction. What they did is declared in these few words of Jesus Christ. As He preached, He said, Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. Repented? What is that? First, let us see if that is essential or just incidental. To settle that once and for all people, our Lord Jesus grouped all people together and said, except ye repent, ye shall all perish. In God's dealing with men, from Adam down to these last days, God has never changed this great principle of His divine glory and righteousness. It is repent or perish for every man, regardless of who he is or what he has done. So do not imagine that God will make an exception of you. He has no privileged characters that He indulges. Your sins are acts of war. They're expressions of defiance against God, against whom you have rebelled, as you have gone your own way. You ignored God's laws and His word. As in your actions, you said, I don't care what God says or what He expects of me. I'm going to do what I please, and if He doesn't like it, let Him do something about it. Oh, my neighbor, no wonder as a man of God I lay awake at night trembling in fear of what lies ahead for you when you shall fall into the hands of the living God, and He will do something about it. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What did Nineveh do that brought God's mercy? It was not a lot of talk like those who talk their religious ideas in our day. What did they do? We read God saw their work. They were the works of repentance, as God demands of every truly repentant soul, saying, repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Here is how the Word of God describes their actions. The people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. The king arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes, and published as the decree of the king, let man not feed nor drink water, but be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from their evil way, and from the violence that's in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from His fierce anger that we perish not? They turned from their showy robes and put on old burlap sacks. In the Bible, robes symbolize our own righteousness. You must renounce all your good works and self-righteousness and confess, I have no righteousness, for there is none righteous, no, not one. And they had not one word to say in self-defense. And God has insisted that every mouth must be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. You too must shut your mouth, and with no excuse for your sins and no blaming of others, to plead guilty before God as deserving His judgment. You'll never be forgiven and go to heaven until you first beat your breast in self-condemnation and confess you deserve to go to hellfire. All those in heaven and all on the road of life are the first to confess they deserve to be in hell. Then they stopped their feasting and fasting and fasted. Thus they confessed they were not worthy of another crumb of bread or drop of water from God, for they had so sinned and abused their Maker and benefactor. Will you take your place with them and cry, O God, I am not worthy of the least of Thy mercies? Then they quit their evil ways. Whatever they knew to be evil in God's sight of their thoughts, words, and deeds, they stopped. And to you God calls, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? Let none remain, break loose from all that is evil before God. Then they believed God, All they had was God's word, but that was enough. They didn't argue with Jonah, but they heard God's warning of judgment, and in faith they went into action. Real faith always works. Faith without works is dead, it's useless. Then they cried mightily unto God. It was the call of those lost and with no hope. In their despair, they were cast entirely on God's mercy. They deserved his unsparing vengeance. But their king, who led the way in their works of repentance, now held up to them their only hope. It was that God would in his mercy turn from his fierce anger. And so they pled mightily with God for his mercy. How many hours, how many days have you spent on your knees begging God to show you mercy? If it takes 40 days, cease not. Wouldn't it be better to spend 40 days begging God's mercy now than to spend more than 40 centuries begging God for the smallest mercy, even a drop of water, when in hellfire it is forever too late for mercy? Then they repented of their evil ways, as God's word has shown you what real repentance is. Can you in honesty and with no pretension tell God, "Oh God, as far as I know what to do, I do now repent of all my sins, my pride, and all this evil in thy sight, and so I beg thee to show me mercy, O God. Be merciful to me, the lost sinner, and if there's anything more I must do, please show me." There is something more you must do. Long after Nineveh's day, God sent forth his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to save lost sinners when they repented. The Lord Jesus died for our sins, and by the divine sacrifice of his own blood provided for the cleansing of our sins and removal of our guilt before God. Rising from the dead, he ascended back to heaven, where God has crowned him with glory and honor. You may avail yourself today of God's mercy and salvation, which is all and only in Jesus Christ the Lord, by receiving him as your Lord, to obey him, and as your Savior, to trust him alone for salvation. Through your tears of sincere repentance, look to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, and tell him he will hear you. Lord Jesus, I thank thee for giving thyself for even me. I do now receive thee as my Lord and Savior, to be mine now and forever. Please take me as thine forever. Amen. That, but nothing short of that, will turn the fierce anger of God from you, and God will in love enfold you in his arms of mercy and make you his child forever. Then, for 40 days, yes, 40 years, yes, for all eternity, you will not cease thanking God for his mercy on you, and that it was all for Jesus' sake. Why not start right now? This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his servant, David Brinkman.
I surrender all.